So in Acts chapter 26, Paul is standing before Agrippa and Festus. Festus is going to send him to Caesar, wanted to find out kind of what to write in a letter, and Agrippa was really wanting to hear what Paul had to say. So in chapter 26, in verse 1, Paul stretched forth his hand and he answered for himself. And he's just telling them the story. He's giving them the testimony. And in the process of giving them the testimony, Festus, in verse 24, said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But Paul said in verse 25, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Verse 26, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also," look at the next three words, "I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." So in Acts chapter 26 and verse 26, we find this little statement, "I speak freely." I speak freely. When I read that, actually in Acts chapter 2, reading in the book of Acts, I noticed that Paul had used the same expression, Peter had used the same expression, when he was explaining Psalm 16 to the crowd that had gathered after all the apostles came out speaking in tongues. And he said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak." And here he says now, Paul says, "I speak freely. I speak freely." You know, it's interesting. Paul could, you know how body language is. When Paul is speaking to Agrippa and Festus is there, you got to know before Festus blurted out, "You're mad." There had to be some body language evident to Paul that Festus was not, he was whatever you want to say, not getting on with the message. It's kind of like, you've seen it. If you're having a conversation with your wife and you're telling her something that you don't think she really wants to hear, you're getting body language before you're getting lip. Same way. I mean, if you're talking to him, you're getting body language before you're getting lip. So it's no surprise when it comes out, because you can already see it's like gastrointestinal problems, right? And contortions on the face, and then, "You're crazy, man." That's what's going on here. And the interesting thing is that Paul, while he is speaking and catching on that Festus is probably going to say something about this in just a minute, doesn't stop. He keeps right on speaking. As a matter of fact, Agrippa then says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So for the sake of Agrippa, regardless of Festus's reaction, Paul keeps on preaching. Freely, he said, "I freely speak." To freely speak, or to speak freely, is to speak without reservation or restraint. That's what it is. So he's up there giving his testimony, and at some point he realizes this isn't flying with Festus. But he doesn't politically try to manufacture words or wordsmith his testimony so that Festus will quit turning green. He just goes on with it. And, you know, a lot of us recognize when we're giving the gospel to somebody that we're beginning to see what looks like disagreement. Or like at some point, if I take a breath here, this guy's going to tell me he's not interested. And what happens is we oftentimes, not everybody, but many of us, begin to change the message to make it more palatable. And we're no longer speaking freely. We're speaking to try to keep the little bit of interest that we have left in the audience that we have. You ever done that before? Yeah, so So Paul said, basically what he's saying, I didn't do that. I speak freely. So he spoke without reservation. He spoke without restraint. I realize that there are times when you're better off not saying anything than speaking. I mean, the wise know what is acceptable. And a man that doesn't speak is counted wise even though he's a fool. I paraphrase that. But so the point is, there are times when not saying anything is the best thing. But if you are speaking, you should be able to speak freely. Oftentimes politicians, and I use them just because, you know, with election cycles, they're in the news, don't speak freely because they're really concerned about whether or not the message they're delivering is still appealing to the audience they're speaking to. We should not try to politically change our message to make it acceptable. It is or it isn't. Like Brother Knickerbocker said in his letter, our duty is to preach the gospel. We recognize that a lot of people don't want to receive Jesus Christ when we do. That's not our responsibility whether they get saved. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. You know, when Pastor King was here, didn't he do a good job during the missions conference? I mean, a really good job of just expounding the scripture. So he preached one message out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Paul is telling, you know, in that whole discussion of the whole armor of God, he's telling the Ephesians, pray for me. And what he wanted was prayer for three things. A door of utterance, an opening, a door of utterance, and then he wanted the boldness to speak, and then he wanted to say what he was supposed to say. Remember that? And I thought, man, it's right there in the scripture, what a clear prayer request. Pray that the door will open, pray that I'll be bold when it does, and pray that I'll speak as I'm ought to speak. So this little one-point sermon, I speak freely, concerns the third point of his sermon, right? The door opens. Now, I want to speak boldly, but I want to speak as I ought to speak. And that should be that we speak freely. You see, I've come to learn something about that. Because I can be one of those wordsmithers. I'm going to kind of read that. Like maybe if I say it this way, we might get through that way. Generally, if you're going to get run off, you get run off. So the thing about it is, if we are conscious of what appears to be disagreement on the part of the person that we're speaking to, we are now going to become more concerned about what they're thinking than with what the Holy Spirit wants us to say. And that's the problem. That's why speaking freely is so important. We should, you know, when Jeremiah was commissioned by the Lord to become a prophet and go speak, he said, don't be dismayed at their faces. Don't be confounded. If you are, I'll confound you. And so the thing is, the Lord knows if we're speaking freely those things that he wants us to say rather than those things that we think are going to be acceptable. Does that make sense? We're not trying to sell something. We're just trying to preach the gospel. And the person that we need to be the most concerned about is the Holy Spirit. And for him to speak with liberty, we need to speak freely. That's really important. You know, speak freely so that all that we need to say about the gospel, we will say. You know, when Jesus Christ was describing what it was like to be filled with the Spirit in John chapter 7, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, I've never seen a river with a spigot. I've seen a hose bib with a spigot. Or a faucet on a pipe, but a river, and there's been a dam, but once that dam, that water, that lake is full, it's running over the spillway, right? There's no such thing as that. So if rivers of living water are to be coming out of us when we're filled with the Spirit of God, that allows the Holy Spirit then to quench the thirst of the hearer. If they're not thirsty, okay, you did your part and you go down. But when you find somebody that's thirsty and you're used to speaking freely, they're going to get the drink of water that they need, just like the woman at the well did. You know, we do want to be conscious of this, I'll guarantee you. You know, you want to be conscious of this. When their bucket is full, it's full. I like what Pastor Shemesh said. I preach, because he's in Thailand, I preach to capacity, not to time. When the vessel is full, it's full. He's afraid that if he keeps going, the bucket might fall over and what he's given spills out too. So I get that. So it doesn't. You're not a fire hose. You're not trying to get them to drink from a fire hose. You're trying to get them to drink from a cool spring of living water. Okay? A constant full stream. So just think of Paul in front of Agrippa. You got to know that had to be, that's a little intimidating. He's a king. And Festus, who's turning blue. And Paul said, I'm not going to let any of that bother me. I speak freely. That's a real good lesson. I speak freely. Now, one of the things I'm encouraged about is this. This is thrilling to me. I want to pass it along to you. My praise is, I'm getting texts now on a fairly regular basis of people who got to witness to somebody that they've been praying for, or even texts from people who have witnessed to somebody that has now gotten saved. I got one this morning. And the fellow texted me and said, I am praising the Lord. My 57-year-old cousin, for whom I've been praying for 26 years, I was able to lead to the Lord this week as she's accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I am just jumping up and down. That's thrilling. You know what that is? That's all of us doing what God gave us to do, speaking freely with those who don't know Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. What a tremendous testimony. So let's keep that in mind when we do have the opportunity, and you will speak freely. Let it open, just open it up, let it go, and let the Holy Spirit be the one to determine what you say rather than what you see. Make a lot of difference. Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to be instructed out of the Word of God with something very simple that Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and Paul said in Acts chapter 26. Help us to be instructed in these matters for Jesus' sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.